You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh, welcome.
Good afternoon.
So, Amy Schumer, Bill Hader, LeBron James. I'm going to play people a clip, actually, and you tell me if you think this is symbolic of the film. Now, we've already had a bit of explicit sex scene commentary from our two leading men before. This scene is a little, perhaps, you know, might be some questions that you don't want to answer at the dinner table kind of conversation. It's the kind of film Trainwreck is. Essentially, Amy Schumer and her boyfriend are fighting. So this is, I guess, a good indication of the way that it both gets to the heart a little bit of, you know, you sometimes stay up all night fighting with the person you're going out with, and also a little bit of Amy Schumer's very particular brand of humour. So have a listen.
I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. You can go to your apartment. It's nicer than mine.
No, look, my parents had a saying, don't go to bed angry. We're angry. Let's resolve this, okay?
Your parents weren't that happy.
They're very happy.
Why? You want to talk about it? You want to get into it?
Yes.
But let's get into all
yes,
of it right
please.
Now. Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
I'll start. You go down on me too much.
What?
Yeah, it's selfish. No, it is actually selfish because, you act, don't look like I'm crazy. You act like it's for me, but really it's just to show how great you are. Like you're always helping people.
So I shouldn't go down on you as much?
Don't try and spin this as a way to not go down on me as much. That's ridiculous. Of course I want you to go down on me that much.
So take it down a notch?
No, keep going down on me. Forget this whole part of the argument, okay? Forget that.
Look,
how could we forget that?
I laughed a lot in the sex scene. So for me, that was the good test. Joshua, look, do set the film up for people. It's a little bit more than a rom-com, but basically set the scene for it.
Yeah, I think the term rom-com to describe this film is a little misleading. In fact, I don't even know if I'd call it a straight-out comedy. I think there's a stronger dramatic element to this film, which is indicative of Judd Apatow's approach to filmmaking more generally. This is the guy who, he started off with Freaks and Geeks back in the day on TV and 40-year-old Virgin Knocked Up, and this is similar territory, although it's interesting to see his characters age as he's aging as well. So this is about a woman who's a bit of a party girl, played by Amy Schumer, lots of drinking, lots of one-night stands. She works for a chauvinist publication. The editor is a wonderfully tanned and over-the-top Tilda Swinton.
Unrecognisable.
Again.
I know this actor, but I'm not sure who it is.
Every time. And she's asked to do an opinion piece on a doctor who's about to perform an operation on famous New York Knick, Amare Stoudemire. And she hates sports, and that's the idea. She's going to go in for the kill with this piece. And, of course, she falls for him unexpectedly. And the first half of the film is the sort of the awkward getting-together phase, and then it becomes a bit of a more serious film of can her personal demons and his, I guess, self-doubt overcome and will the relationship sort of shine through.
It is like a rom-com in a way because she's the dude, she's the guy, she's the commitment phobe, she's the drinker, she's the one who sleeps with lots of people but doesn't sleep over, and he is the caring, sharing, sensitive guy, and his best friend wants to analyze the text messages. Is she really in love
with LeBron James?
And that's LeBron James. So it's an interesting flip of the normal gender roles. That kind of works, doesn't it?
It does, and that's part and parcel of her skit comedy, and her stand-up is really about sort of turning the gender stereotypes on their head. Although the film doesn't feel like it's trying to be overtly political, it is in a sense, but it's not the focus. And I think the focus really turns to the characters and the central drama. And I think the highlight of this film is it feels like real characters in
real people.
Yeah, real people, genuine characters, fully complex characters in identifiable situations. And I think that's a strength of Apatow's filmmaking when he's on point. And the script is by Schumer as well. I think the script's probably one of the strongest that Apatow's had. A lot of his films feel a bit on the spot and flabby, like they've been improvised on set. This doesn't have that feel. It's far more
taut. I think one bit that it really must be, there's a few scenes between Amy Schumer and her sister. And in fact, I was listening to something this morning. There's a scene where she's talking about how she doesn't want to go out with someone because then he might see her tampons in the toilet. And she sort of has these descriptions, and there's one of them. It's this bizarre description of what a tampon looks like in the toilet. And you can just see the woman playing her sister is just breaking up. So there is the odd moment there where she's riffing. I mean, it's funny, no? Am I the only person who laughed out
no,
loud?
No, look, I really enjoyed this film, and I got quite moved. I think the only bad taste in my mouth is the ending. The ending felt, for me, a real betrayal tonally.
Oh, really?
And in terms of her character. Yeah, I've only just come out. This is a first impression, but my gut reaction was I really didn't like the ending.
Look, I don't want to give away the ending.
No, I'm not going to.
The ending gets a lot of debate. If you go and see it, think about this perhaps. The ending is good because it's not conclusive. Like, it's not all, you don't know 100% what's going to happen in the future. Secondly, it's good because it shows Amy Schumer trying to do something that looks kind of, maybe it's not that hard to do. And then you see a normal person trying to do something that these idealized version of people seem to be able to do effortlessly. And actually, you see, actually, that's almost impossible. What we ask these people to do and what we expect them to do is very difficult. So it's not quite a betrayal, perhaps, of the sort of the gender reversal and the sex politics theory that's kind of laced through the script. I don't know if it's quite a betrayal.
I think the betrayal for me, well, I mean, part of it was a bit of the gender aspect, but the other part is stylistically, given so much of the film is anchored in these real identifiable situations, and that is so far out from that, and so part and parcel of the pretty ordinary, typical rom-coms that we get and those types of endings, that it felt like that scene or that sequence and what takes place between the two characters.
Could have taken
place in a more private setting and still had the same effect.
Look, there's quite a few things worth talking about in Trainwreck, which I want to get into with Josh. It is, of course, the film with Amy Schumer. For some reason, the interview publicity predated the release by a few weeks, which is a little weird. However, your Trainwreck characters, those you knew were going to get it in the neck. James Corr from Elwood, who did you know was a train wreck?
Peter Sellers' character from The Party.
Oh, yes.
Goes in and just destroys everything in his wake.
That is a fantastic definition of a train wreck. Josh Nelson is with me. I haven't mentioned Filmology.com and Filmology, your Twitter handle. LeBron James, who, I got to be honest, until Della was a bit of a star in the NBA Finals series, didn't really have a sense of, this is a sportsman who can act.
Yeah, much to my chagrin, because as a Chicago Bulls fan, LeBron James is to me what Michael Jordan was to Knicks fans during the 1990s. But even he won me over in this film. In fact, all the cameos, and this is a pretty cameo-rich, did we say cameo-rich film? There's some great ones in there. Marv Albert, who will be known particularly to NBA fans, he's a great commentator. Amare Stoudemire does a reasonable job, but most surprisingly, John Cena in this, who plays a kind of on-again, off-again boyfriend in the early stages of the film.
He's fantastic.
But Amy Schumer, he was hilarious, and his body is ridiculous. I mean, there's a joke that he looks like the Hulk. He really does look like the Hulk.
He's a wrestler?
Yeah, he's also a part-time action hero as well. I think he's had a sort of a straight-to-DVD type status as
an
action
filmmaker. His sex scenes are extraordinary when she's basically saying to him, talk dirty to me, and all he can do is sort of talk about
protein
shakes and how many reps he can do in the gym. And the sex scenes are just gold. I think there is something in Judd Apatow. I don't love a lot of his work. Actually, in some of his work I find really distasteful, but he has, Hollywood's male-dominated, TV's male-dominated, and he opened the door for girls, and he's opened the door for this film. So, and he was one of the first people to come out against Bill Cosby as well. So even if you don't love his work, he's really opened up the door for some really quite impressive people. Anything else worth mentioning in the film?
Well, look, I think the thing to be mindful of is, don't go in expecting constant belly-aching laughs for 2 hours. Like, it's not that kind of a film.
You're right. It's not quite a rom-com. There's a lot of... we haven't mentioned, there's a whole lot of going on with her father and her sister and her sister's family. And that's actually quite... I mean, it is quite funny, but it's also quite serious.
And quite genuine. I mean, I think Apatow comes from this stable of... And I'm going to mention him in relation to a doco that's playing at MIFF in just a moment. But he comes from a stable of comedy... if you want to call it that, only works if it's anchored in a real-life situation, if you can connect to it. He's not dealing with far-fetched, skit-show-type performers and performances. And I think that's what makes this film interesting, even though, reservations about the ending aside. I think this is a really impressive film.
I do want to know, too, your train wreck characters, 1300-222-774 is the phone number. Any character in any flick that you just knew that were going to basically cop it, they were the train wreck. Most important question, Josh, is this an exciting, interesting, new version of what Hollywood can do? Is it that significant, the way it subverts the form?
In a way, yes, but not because it's trying to do so in an obvious manner. I think it could have been very easy for Schumer to have tried to adapt her skit material, which I think is very funny and very overtly political, into a feature film. I'm not sure that the format would have worked so well, but because it's anchored in those characters and because it's trying to do something quite subtle, it's not saying, let's just you know, devote an entire film to just turning the tables and let's make Schumer the kind of the guy figure. And the Bill Hader the sort of the typical feminine character. And in that sense, it's about normalizing these types and broadening the range of characters available to women and to men, really, but particularly given Hollywood's male-centric view, definitely to women. And Schumer, I think, is an incredible performer. It's not just a stand-up comic trying to have a go on a big screen. Yeah, absolutely. And Bill Hader as well. I mean, we saw him in Skeleton Twins last year. He's a really talented actor.
He is. And one thing before we get to traffic, he plays basketball one-on-one with LeBron James. And I've seen Bill Hader in the flesh because I had the whole experience trying to interview Amy Schumer. He's taller than me. He looks like this diminutive stick figure. And just, of course, you can't. I mean, how do you play one-on-one with LeBron James? So, look, there's a lot of fun there. We'll get some MIF recommendations from Josh Nelson in a moment. Vivian's call from East Brighton with a train wreck character. Vivian, who?
Oh, look, I've got three train wreck characters, actually. They just suddenly popped into my head, and I feel bad because they're all women. let me see. There's Norma Desmond from Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, yes.
She was classic.
Absolutely.
And Holly Golightly from Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, the dogs are going off. And, of course, Blanche from A Streetcar Named Desire.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, totally. Look, they're and all quite sad train wrecks, Vivian. Look, thank you. The Melbourne International Film Festival is on, of course. Josh wants to talk about... Let's talk about Raiders first. What is Raiders?
Raiders is a documentary about those, well, the key three 11-year-olds who began making a shot-for-shot remake of Raiders of the Lost Ark back in 1982 on their summer holidays, and each year they would make a little bit more. And this story broke around 2002, and in fact, I remember they played a screening of it and had the guys out, I think, here at Acme many years ago. So this is a documentary on those guys and their attempts to film the one scene which they never shot at the time because it was too difficult, and that was that remarkable scene involving the Nazi fistfight and the aeroplane.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know, of course, they didn't do it for probably pyrotechnic reasons many other ones. This is an incredible documentary. I was so won over by this. It's not just a kind of a making of. It's not just a fan documentary. It's really about, I guess... older men, these men are all now in their 40s, trying to recapture something about their childhood, and they've all lived very different lives, and the dreams that they had as kids have kind of, you know, fallen by the wayside. So we get this strange look back and this almost desperate attempt, and they put so much of their money into trying to film
things,
this one scene. And of course, it's nothing like how they used to do it on shoestring budgets when they were kids.
Yeah.
So it has this sort of bittersweet quality. But yeah, I loved it. I think if you're a fan of Raiders of the Lost Ark or filmmaking in general, this is a must-see.
Look, we've got a little clip from this documentary that Josh has a lot of love for. Have a listen.
Chris told me, Mom, I want to make a movie. And there's this kid at school that is a filmmaker, and that was Eric.
It's recording, right?
We committed having no idea what we were getting into.
Action!
Eli Roth somehow got a copy and gave it to Harry Knowles.
He was like, Harry, I brought you something for the festival.
It's Raiders of the Lost Ark, remade shot for shot by 11-year-old kids in 1982.
That sounds awesome!
Oh, these kids are acting out the first scene of Raiders. Let's watch.
Once you hit the idol and the ball starts to roll, I'm getting goosebumps just... thinking about.
You're not just watching Raiders, but you're rooting for the kids to succeed.
The tape brings the house down. Afterwards, everyone was just talking about this tape.
What happened to these kids?
Good, Josh?
Oh, so good.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
It has one more screening at the festival. I'm not sure it's going to get a theatrical release, but it should at some point, hopefully. It's screening on this coming Sunday at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Okay. I will nominate, by the way, Wolfpack, which is an extraordinary documentary. I've interviewed the director. We'll play that when it gets a theatrical release. If you get a chance to see Wolfpack at MIF, it's about these kids basically locked up in a New York high-rise by their quite strange immigrant father. It's intensely weird and just extraordinarily worth seeing. Wolfpack is the name of it. Josh Nelson is here. We're talking film, talking about train wreck characters, but you're broadening your scope. Helicopter Wreck, Bronwyn Bishop, and Train Wreck, the Australian cricket team from David and Ballarat. Josh, any other films, flicks worth mentioning?
Yeah, I'm going to give a shout-out to another documentary. It ties nicely in with the film we talked about earlier. It's called Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant, Dead, The Story of the National Lampoon. And it's a look back. I mean, my idea of National Lampoons began with Animal House in the late 70s.
Sure.
This has a whole history as a publication, a satirical publication that sprang forth out of the Harvard Lampoon. And it looks at all these writers who wrote for this political satirical publication and then how it grew to their broadcasting sort of offshoot, and then ultimately, probably and most famously, their film work. This is a really fascinating documentary, and it gets really interesting when we start to see behind-the-scenes footage of guys like Jim Belushi come on board, Chevy Chase is in there as a being interviewed. And then the really tipping point, in which was really quite fascinating, is when Lorne Michaels comes in the mid-70s, right, and, you know, and says...
Lorne Michaels is part of National Lampoon before SNL.
No, he stole everyone. And this is a kind of a bone of contention, right, that he took half their writing staff and all their kind of their radio talent.
So Amy Schumer, Judd Apatow, a lot of that fueled by people who worked on SNL. This is SNL fueled as well, right?
Okay. And Apatow is interviewed, and he says what National Lampoon did in terms of both publication, in terms of audio, and in terms of their film work, set the, I guess, the bedrock for American comedy for the next 30 years.
Yeah,
and,
right,
and when you see the cast and the talent that went through that system, yeah, it's sort of indisputable. This is a really fascinating documentary.
What's it called again?
It's called Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant, Dead.
Okay. And there's a new major release called Vacation, which is sort of a reboot of the National Lamp of the original Vacation. Do you know if that's any good?
Look, I read an article, I think it was on Grantland yesterday, that right, said that one of those jokes, and that first one is when Chevy Chase leaves the dog tied to the back of the car.
Yeah.
He said this entire film is that it's an empty leash and a tortured dog. Oh, avoid.
Right.
So
avoid,
I rewatched the original Vacation in light of the documentary because I was inspired, and it really holds up. And I think on the back of that, I don't really feel the need to go and rewatch this.
And the new Fantastic Four, going to go and bother seeing that?
Yeah, that hasn't had too
scathing
great
reviews
either.
Scathing. Okay. Mm. But it's the guy from Billy Elliot inside The Thing.
And it's the drummer from Whiplash.
Yeah, that's right.
Mr.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Mm, there you go.
Yeah.
Look, hopefully there's a bit of myth recommendation for you. The film I mentioned was Wolfpack. Raiders was the other documentary Josh mentioned. And Trainwreck is the wide-release Amy Schumer comedy. Thanks so much, Josh.
Pleasure.